Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Storm Champ. We are the podcast that focuses on everyday acts of resilience and resistance, living our best lives and doing everything we can to get through the storms that life throws our way. So tonight we're going to be speaking with Carlos, and we've got Angie here on the line. And Derek will be joining us here in just a few minutes about the topic of growing in gratitude. Gratitude is one of those topics that you'll often hear folks kind of touch on in the realm of mindfulness, self-help, self-healing, things like that. It's a wonderful topic and a lot of depth involved. But tonight we're just going to kind of get into the conversation with some of our experiences around it and some thoughts and ideas that hopefully you all will benefit from as well. So when we were talking as a team earlier this week, I had found an article, and I can go ahead and link it to our episode here, off of Happify. Happify.com. That sounds like a fun place, right? And they tried to describe what gratitude really is. So I'm going to go ahead and read the definition, kind of ad-libbed here, but the point is that gratitude is taking time to notice and reflect upon things that we become thankful for. So it could be happening currently in your life, something that's going on. It could be something that's a little bit more in the past. You probably can't argue that you will be grateful for something, but perhaps the birth of your first child or the completion of your degree or whatever those big milestones are, you can anticipate being very grateful for that stuff. But it's kind of important to acknowledge the fact that gratitude is sort of a verb, right? It's a verb, in my opinion, more so than an object or something that we gain or that we get. And so I just kind of wanted to open it up to you all here on the call and our listeners and viewers. If you could think about, over the course of this summer, there's probably been a lot of different things. Hopefully you all have changed and grown in personal and maybe professional ways. But what is one thing, Carlos and Angie, and I'll share mine too in a moment, that you can say for certain you've become more grateful for over this past summer?
For me, what I'm most grateful for really is my life. And I think it's probably reflective of what's been happening this last year in my life. But the fact that I'm even here, that I have a moment, that I have good friends, that I have family that loves me, a good job. I think about gratitude, I feel extremely content in life, and I really don't desire a lot.
Yeah, no, for me, actually, I'm grateful for gratitude. And what I mean by that is I never really started practicing gratitude until maybe about 6 months ago, at least not consciously, right? Like, I was always grateful for the good things in my life, the good people in my life. But it wasn't something that I don't ever recall consciously thinking about, like, I am truly grateful for this thing or this person or this event or whatever. And I've tried really hard to make it part of my daily practice in the morning to think about everything I'm grateful for, everybody I'm grateful for, and the things that are happening in my life, and kind of like reflecting. And it's usually like a reflection of the day before, like, what was I grateful for the day before? Or whatever, maybe something long-term is happening and I'm grateful for where I'm at in that process, but definitely wasn't something I practiced regularly. And I'm super grateful that I do that now.
That's awesome. 'Cause I don't, and I need to get better. I recognize the value added and immense value added to the folks who, like yourself, have started to really gain some traction in that practice. I recognize how incredibly valuable it would be to me and how much I am lacking in certain things. Contentment, Angie, you mentioned, and maybe balance or reflection, more of a routine reflection, as you were mentioning, Carlos. But I think when I think back to my summer, I sort of look a little big picture at it. I'm really, really grateful, not just for the kindness shown towards me, the everyday kind of acts of kindness that I've been picking up on from other people around me, but the opportunity and I frame it that way intentionally for me and my life to slow down.
Yeah.
I know we've talked in past episodes about anxiety and just the way that your mind tick, 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 go, 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 goes, and it just does not stop. And that's certainly something I'm plagued with every single day, even still. And I believe that I'm more ready to build those practices of gratefulness and some of the other things that we've mentioned, because I've been given this opportunity here to really just slow down and focus. So I have to remind myself when I'm not running 1,000 miles a minute with a long to-do list and feeling really high in my achiever strength that I'm not doing enough, that really doing nothing is huge for me. So I'm very grateful for that. And I think I've gotten a little bit further in perspective because of it. So thanks for sharing.
To touch on that, Kim, gratitude actually shifts your perspective of how you think every day. So one of the things that I try to practice at night is to run through the things that I'm grateful for, and it actually shifts my perspective to a positive energy vice dwelling on some of the negative things that are happening or all the things that are going bad in my life, or maybe this interaction didn't work out or I didn't do something right. When I start thinking about the things I did do right or the things that I'm grateful for, I end up going to bed feeling really refreshed in the morning when I wake up.
Does it impact your sleep? They say it does.
I think you start looking at life through a positive lens. At least for me, unlike Carlos, I've actually been practicing this mindfulness of gratitude probably the last 3 years. My perspective started changing, especially when I started studying yoga. We would run into different stories about instances of contentment and gratitude. And I personally just used to be a person that always was striving for more and setting tons of goals for myself and, you know, not always reaching those goals. So maybe feeling a little bit disappointed and just slowed down to your point and really just sat there and thought about all of the things that made me happy and that I could be grateful for that I have in my life. The breath that I have, the ability to walk, the ability to, you know, think freely and have certain freedoms. And I just started not wanting things as much and just really being happy with who I am and the situations that I was in.
Yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say that comparison, right, is the thief of joy, I think is what the bumper sticker reads, right?
Yeah.
And it's really hard in this society, in our generation, in our workplaces, in our, you know, just everything, to not feel like you're constantly the hamster on the wheel, keeping up with the Joneses or figuring out that next step. We're really rewarding folks on the surface level for being high achievers. But that comes at such a huge cost sometimes. And moreover, I think that our happiness, our fulfillment, our, you know, completeness gets incredibly lost in that rat race, right? And I don't know if it's an age thing or if it's a burnout thing or like when we get to the spot where we've just decided enough is enough, I'm going to take care of myself and by any means necessary. I think gratitude is one of those foundational first steps to get there.
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of people think about it though. Like I think, you know, when you think about when enough is enough and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get better, and most people think physically, right? Or maybe emotionally. I don't know if gratitude's a thing. Like, I don't know, maybe it was just me growing up in kind of the circles I ran in, but I don't ever remember talking about gratitude. Like, is that, you know, it was in the consciousness, right? It wasn't until I started looking at more things like that and started hearing more people like, oh, you need to practice gratitude and you got to be grateful for what you have and all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. I don't recall it ever being like a something that was on the conscious of anything that I was looking at or people that I was around necessarily.
Sure. I think the only time I heard it was maybe church.
I was going to say church, right? But that's a really good point. When you're in something so rhetorical and so dogmatic, right? I mean, I'm speaking from the Catholic lens, but I also went to Baptist summer camp, so that's pretty strong in that business too. It really sort of isolates and alienates the everyday experience of these things, right? We need to be grateful and God-fearing and all this other stuff, and you know, faith and religion being what it is, and we all have free will, thank God, but it sort of gets lost in translation. And I think, to your point, Carlos, the the real lived experiences of folks and finding a balance between, boy, I'm glad that's over, and oh my gosh, I'm so glad I learned from that. There's a lot of learning on that curve. I mean, I don't know that you can think back to every single one of your life lesson experiences and be like truly grateful for it without some super strong emotional intelligence and probably some time and distance in between the trauma or drama that happened, right?
Yeah, what's really interesting, I know in my experience, and very recently in my experience, is I'm trying to find gratitude in the bad things that are happening or the challenging things that are happening. And I think about, like, I had to coach somebody through some performance management things at work, and it didn't go very well. And, you know, we ended up parting ways. And I really indexed on that because I felt like I failed this person. But I would, in my daily gratitude practice, when I was thinking about the day before and what I was grateful for, I actually found myself being grateful for that situation and grateful for the challenge of the situation, as much as it sucked and as much as it felt like I was failing this person. I was like, okay, what can I learn from this and what can I carry forward and trying to be there? Now, fast forward to, like, literally yesterday, we're having a manager meeting and I'm able to relate that experience back to a manager who's going through it himself now with one of his direct employees and, you know, kind of talking them through and coaching them through, like, here's best practices, here's what you have to think about here, you know, here's how you should approach it. And so I'm able to share in that experience as opposed to, like, shutting down and, like, oh, that experience sucked, I don't ever want to talk about it again. You know, try to find the gratefulness and the wisdom out of the emotion, right?
Yeah, you're trying to find the positive in the situation. So, like, for me, like, this mindfulness of gratitude is totally changed my perception on how to look at situations, similar to what you said, Carlos. Like, had a really bad instance with my boss where I totally misunderstood what he was asking me to do and ended up beating myself up for, like, a week, you know, or not a week, but, like, a couple of days of, like, oh man, I should have known better, I should have done this, instead of looking at it as an opportunity or a challenge that, you know, I could learn from. And then, you know, it wasn't until I shifted that perception and I started thinking that way that I realized, well, this is really a growth opportunity for me. Yeah. So.
Absolutely. I think it's easier for me to digest the big G gratitude moments, right? The death of a family member or the completion of a really long chapter that I've worked towards or, you know, something like this. But the little moments of gratitude are often a lot more life-changing than we realize.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I was on the side of a highway this weekend at about 3:30 in the morning after we had hit a tire on some car. We busted their entire axle off and they were just grinding, trying to get it off the road or not. I don't really know what was happening. And regardless, we hit that wheel. And our tire had gotten flat. That's all that happened. A flat tire. It could have been so much worse.
Yeah.
And we're at 3 a.m. on, like, this bridge of a highway trying to change over a tire with this janky little jack. And all of a sudden, the people I was with, one of the people I was with was like, oh, my gosh, I have AAA. Perfect. I could have mentioned that a half hour ago, but here we are. So grateful. So, so grateful that it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And that, you know, that we had some, like, grace in that place a little bit more than I was willing to recognize at first.
That was my friend.
Hey, Derek.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us. I'm grateful you're here.
I'm grateful I'm here as well.
Derek's getting off the road. We're really excited and happy to see him here. We've just been talking about moments of gratefulness and sort of our ability to grow in that space. It isn't something that I have yet to really champion. So maybe that's something that you're working on too. But I had asked at the beginning, what is one thing that you might be grateful for as you reflect on your summer? Is there anything that you'd like to share with us that you can think about that's helped you grow in your gratefulness?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm grateful to do a lot of traveling. It doesn't always, sometimes it's frustrating.
Of course.
I'm sitting in the lobby of a hotel right now. I just went from Terre Haute to Fort Wayne after working a long day. So, you know,
And for people that don't realize, that's a pretty long drive.
It's a pretty long drive, especially when you were in South Bend before that.
Yeah,
You did the whole zigzag. Yep. And last week was all Virginia, and the week before that was all Virginia. I'm grateful for the travel, you know, even through the frustrations. I got to see a college friend yesterday, so I'm grateful for that. I haven't seen her in like 7 years, got to catch up. You know, hear about her and her family and everything. She's got two kids, and it was just great. You know, me, her, and another friend of mine, we played board games and everything. But those are simple things, right, that we don't all get a chance to do. So definitely grateful for those kind of opportunities and being able to see these different cities. I met somebody in Machias, Maine, about 6 years ago when I was doing these travels, and he was telling me that he had never been outside of Machias. And I was like, you mean to live? And he was like, no, I've literally never left Machias, Maine. And I started reading up on people who had never left their cities ever and looking at the statistic that said the average person only visits 14 cities in their lifetime. Oh. Not living, but visiting. That's 14 crazy. Cities yeah, in their lifetime. And to me, I was just like, no, I got to add more to my list. So I've had the privilege of, you know, going to 46 of the 50 states, and I'm looking to check some more boxes. So, yeah, that's a long-winded answer of what I'm grateful for.
Oh, that's great. That's good. Recognizing that it's something that we all kind of value and we're all aspiring to do a little bit better at, is there anybody in your world that you kind of see as a role model or that you are kind of like aiming to emulate in regards to the practice of gratitude?
Ooh, I think my aunt Pat specifically, she is very much, wait, is this question directly at me? Did you guys already answer this?
You're doing so good like as an extrovert interviewed. Right now, you can answer first.
All
right,
I'm trying. my aunt really is, I don't know, she's just so self-aware and understanding, and I really just feel like, you know, whenever something goes wrong or something in my life and I tell her about it, she's, you know, one of those people that somehow finds the zen in it. And she's like, well, what were you meant to learn from this or something like that? And I'm like, oh, you stop it. You stop it with your educating. I'm going through something. And yeah, I want to be more like that. And yeah, that's who I want to emulate.
Aunt Pat, that's awesome.
Aunt Pat. Anybody else?
Well, Carlos or Angie, anybody?
Oh, okay. I got more than one.
My facilitator skills are a little weak today.
So we're gonna change the name of the podcast to the Derek Podcast. And
no, please don't. Because I won't be there all the time.
Honestly, Kim, I don't know if I know anybody in my life that I could actually point to besides myself.
Is there anybody that you know of, I guess, in the industry or out there in the world that kind of inspires you in regards to the topic?
It'd be like Snoop Dogg, it'd be like, I want to thank me.
I mean, maybe.
Thank me.
You know, I don't follow a lot of social media, to be honest. I think I can point to someone that has made me aware of why I should be grateful is my mom. I had an instance probably about 5 years ago in which I was losing my hair. I had alopecia, and I was devastated, like bawling, crying every night because I could not believe that this was happening to me. And like, I think I was 35 at the time, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm going bald. I'll be bald by the time I'm 40 or something. And my mother is diabetic and going blind from diabetes. And she was like, you need to get your ass in gear because at least you're not going blind. And it was probably the first instance in which I was like, fuck, I'm grateful, you know, like, you're right. I'm just losing my hair. It could be so much worse. You know, I could be losing my sight. And I've brought this story up in yoga as a teacher before, in which I remember thinking about, I was getting out of the car and I was helping my mom, you know, get out of the car and navigate through steps and, you know, just to be able to walk, because she also has neuropathy in her leg. So she can't feel things. And I just remember, you know, helping her and then taking a step back and thinking, oh my God, I can run, I can walk, I can see. I have a lot of good things, going for me, because it could be a lot worse. And it, you know, really changed my whole perception and thought process around why I should be grateful. So
thanks for sharing. Yeah.
You know, that's interesting that you bring that up, because it made me think about like my military experience and seeing combat vets come back and, you know, that they were hurt or, you know, missing limbs and those kind of things. And I always remember thinking to myself how grateful I was to have everything. You know, I wasn't in combat and I have all my limbs and everything, and it would last for like a day, right? It would be like, I'm super grateful. And then the next day I would like do absolutely nothing with it. So that's really interesting that you brought that up. I think the other piece for me, I can't think of anybody that I know personally that really talks about being grateful and gratitude and those kind of things. I think from like a more social media standpoint, I mean, if you follow Gary Vee, he talks a lot about gratitude, lots and lots about gratitude. I love, Brene Brown. She talks a lot about gratitude, and also, hey, we're on a selfie. Just folks like that, that are kind of in that space and talking about, you know, gratitude, vulnerability, surrender, those kind of things, and just getting after your life and making the best of your life as you know, as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess when I think about it, the first person I tend to think about is Ange, actually, just, you know, the church she's been going through the last couple of years. There you go. And I think it's awesome when we can impact each other in that regard and be honest and vulnerable with each other. So that's dope. But also, you know, I throw it back to Rosie, my Baptist grandma, who, you know, was super Bible thumpish and had all the classic camp sing-along gratitude for God songs in my childhood and stuff. And, you know, most of the time I spent during summer camp as a Catholic school kid, it was Baptist summer camp. So I had all sorts of morality and consciousness questions as a child. It was a great time. But it was centered in nature. And so I started to draw some conclusions in regard to the earth and some of the more hippy dippy stuff, I guess, if you will, in spirituality, and recognizing how teeny tiny us humans who think we're so important and so, you know, busy are, you know, and if you realize and you actually center yourself in some pretty big nature, there's a lot of gratitude that rushes. I get real emotional really fast about that stuff because I think that's true to everything that's wrong in this world. We just need to go out to nature and take a hike and just get back to it, because it really makes you appreciate some things in my experience. So I've just started to discover folks like Gary Vee and Brene Brown and some of that stuff, and working in spaces, usually in higher ed spaces, but always surrounded by social justice issues. It's a bleeding heart kind of space, you know, and you can get burnt out really fast, and there's not a lot of tangible tasks to do when you're fighting classism and racism and homophobia and all these other things, right? And so you really got to hunt and dig for some moments of gratitude in that space. And, you know, it's definitely a quest. I think that's part of my life's purpose here. And I'm really excited that we get to talk a little bit more in detail with everybody tonight. So
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Angie.
Oh, sorry. It's interesting that you said that, Kim, that you turn to nature when you're thinking about gratitude. I think that it also makes me turn to being present. Mm-hmm. And not thinking too far ahead or thinking too far in the past, but really just focusing on the moment, which resonates with me and you being focused in the now and in nature. That's at least what I feel with gratitude, is I don't have that longing for more.
Right. So.
Something I've been thinking about recently around gratitude is, how do you balance gratitude versus settling? And is that something that you guys have thought about? Like, what I mean by that is, like, you can be grateful for the things in your life. And I think, at least for me, in my experience, I think I was being grateful, but then I was also settling. It's like, oh, I should be grateful. I don't need any more. I'm going to stop right here, you know, or I'm going to accept, you know, these things, even though some of them may be negative, the overall positive I'm just grateful for, you know. So what do you guys think about that?
That's interesting. My initial thought is, gratitude, again, is a verb. It's action. It's not complacency, right? I think that might be a cheap surface level way out, saying, oh, I'm grateful. Like a lot of what we've been saying earlier, oh, it could have been worse. Sure, that's an eighth of the point. You know,
sure.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think what true practice in gratitude is applying what could have been worse or what was actually good or better than you had imagined it to be. It's sort of a perspective game, definitely a perception game to some of the things Angie was speaking to earlier. And I think, yeah, it's really hard because we want to tackle that task or that issue, get it done and move on. And most things in life aren't just done and we move on. So that like rub, that tension we carry is a real challenge to stay committed to. And I think that's exactly where the practice of gratitude, saying I'm glad that I am going through this uncomfortable moment. I'm grateful for my ancestors and the ancestors before me and the sacrifices given for X, Y, and Z to allow me to be able to be in this moment. I have lots of thoughts around that, but I'm curious to hear others.
Yeah, Carlos, I hear what you're saying is that, you know, you felt like you were settling because you would, by saying that you're grateful. And for me, I think gratitude is also acceptance of some of the challenging things that are happening, but maybe you weren't being completely, if you felt that way, you weren't being completely honest with yourself about the situation. So you were just settling or accepting in a negative way versus a positive. That's kind of how I'm taking it.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. You're probably right. Now that I think about it, you think you're very right about that.
I don't know. I think for me, gratitude is it's presence. It's acceptance in a good way. It's acceptance of the situation, and it's finding that moment to like you said, Kim, reflection. You know, but if you're using it as a cop out to not keep yourself accountable for something,
I like that. I'll give you a heart on that one.
Yeah.
Oh. We fancy.
Like lit up the heart.
I know.
I think what I've heard recently was, you know, people say they're grateful for what they have. You need to be grateful for what you have, or you need to appreciate what you have. And it's almost in a way of like, you shouldn't want any more. And not anymore in a bad way, right? Or in a selfish way. But, you know, like, you know, I think about leaving my own career and like where I'm at in my career. And I think a lot of people would love to be where I'm at. But like, somewhere along the way, I settled for where I was at. And I felt like, okay, I don't need to go anymore. And I'm grateful for what I have. I'm appreciating what I have, and I don't need to go any farther. Like, this could be it for the rest of my life. And then somewhere I was like, no, why? You know, you got this far. Why don't you keep going? Kind of deal, right?
I've heard that from my parents' generation.
To stay at some point.
You should be grateful you have a job. You
have a good job. Why would you want it to stop?
Why should you sully the waters or, you know, disrupt situation when everything is good?
Y'all are so happy, boomers. No cop.
Yeah. I think that's where you got to listen to your heart and listen to what it's telling you that you need to do, you know, and I don't think that's like selfish at all.
No, I think that's really courageous.
I think society as a whole, though, is like, it's maybe their own insecurities. I think we talked about this a couple episodes ago. Is it, you know, the way people react to you, is it really about you or is it about them? You know, so.
It's always about.
And I think you can be grateful in that, even grateful in that experience. It's like, okay, I just had a really rough experience with this person because I explained my dream to them and they took it really negatively. It's like, okay, you know, what's the wisdom you can take from that situation too? That's hard. That's hard to get to.
Yeah, I think it's really awesome that we get to witness other folks at their worst and their best. I cannot imagine pushing a double or triple stroller through a grocery store with screaming kids pulling stuff off the shelf. Like, that is the seventh ring of hell for me. Yeah. But I see gratitude in practice with some of those moms and dads sometimes, or the babysitter, like, they're making it into a game. They change it up. The attitude is everything. And so if your attitude is gratitude, you are made in the shade, my friend. Like, that is fantastic.
And the funny part of a situation like that is however they're being judged by everyone around them,
right,
no one's judging them harder than themselves. Absolutely. In that moment.
Right.
Like, they feel like the worst parent in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Cause trust me, I've been there. It sucks.
Well, so when has there been an opportunity in which you've practiced gratitude and it's completely shifted a situation, a thought pattern, or a conversation with someone, or maybe even you've helped somebody because you've helped them practice gratitude?
Yeah, I'm usually much better at these things when I project it onto others, not so much in my own personal life. So usually when someone else is going through a crisis moment, I'm thinking about a time when one of my sorority sisters' husbands just up and walked out, just left, like took, cashed out the checking account, took the only car the household had, like the worst Lifetime movie you could think of kind of thing. And she's just in shambles. And, you know, I personally was grateful that I had like a couple extra dollars to slang a Little Caesars and a bottle of wine, you know, just kind of like get together. I was grateful that, you know, I for some reason had some words and some heart to give her some love in that moment, just give her a space to be, fall apart, you know, and feel safe. And I don't know, I don't think it necessarily has to be crisis, but for me, a lot of times I respond very well to high level crisis issues with other people. So.
Are there any activities you guys can think of that you can do to practice gratefulness for things going on in your own life? Like, I don't know, just while you're talking, I'm thinking, are there things that we could do to really recognize the things we have? Like, maybe it's a, I don't know what you call it, stream of consciousness, where you're just writing a full page of like all the things you're grateful for. And that in itself is like, you get to the end and you're like, oh man, look at all that. I didn't think I'd get to a full page.
Yeah.
You know?
Is there anything you guys can think of? Yeah, for me, and this was actually going to be the answer to Angie's question too, was, so my gratitude practice is part of my meditation practice. So I'll meditate, and then at the end of my meditation, I'll spend some time in gratitude, you know, and that's when I think back, usually it's to the day before. It's like, what am I grateful for the day before? You know, the people, the things, the events, whatever. And so when you get into, for me, when I got into that space, so my mind's clear, it's calm, there's nothing happening. And then I can go into the feelings of gratitude, which a lot of it's happiness and, you know, being proud of certain things, especially like if I'm proud of like something I did the day before, it's even better. Right. So, and so when I do that, then when I leave that space and I go and interact with the rest of the human world, I'm hopefully a much better of a person, right? Because I'm trying to be the best version of myself at that point. And so I'm not yelling at my kids anymore. I'm not getting frustrated with my coworkers or whatever, or at least it's not as much as I used to be in the past. And I find myself getting better and better the more I practice it. But it's a daily thing. Like, you got to do it every day.
Yeah. One of the things that I used to do in yoga class is there's a meditation called Metta meditation. Have any of you heard of it?
No, but I
it's kind of like practicing gratitude and love at the same time, because I think when you practice gratitude, you are also giving love, right?
Yeah.
So the meditation walks you through instances in which you think of yourself, you think of others, you think of a foe, you think of a stranger, and you send them love and kindness. And you kind of, in this meditative state, are thinking about these each instances of sending them love and kindness, which could also be gratitude. And so it just really shifts your perception and lifts your energy. And I don't know, it's something that I like to practice or think about. And it makes the world not seem so horrible.
Yeah, no, I think the one thing I was thinking of, Derek, to your question too, was, okay, I've always had this thought, and I remember having it at first, probably around my senior year, maybe my freshman year of college. I consider myself fiercely independent from the age of 12 when my dad passed, and a tumultuous 13, 14, 15, 16, and as soon as I could get up and out, I did, and I had such a massive weight on my shoulders in regards to not just my like close friends and their parents who became kind of my parents too, but other people, my music teacher, folks from that Baptist summer camp that, you know, just gave me a hard time every year but made me better for it. I started realizing some self-awareness stuff at the point, and I wanted to start writing like thank you notes. I was thinking on Mother's Day and Father's Day, just because parents in particular are a hot button issue for a lot of us throughout our life. People who I would consider mothers or fathers to my upbringing in different ways, I've always wanted to like say thanks somehow, some way, right? I have yet to still do this many years later. But I think to that point, when I'm heated on something, when I'm especially triggered or just in the middle, in the thick of something, I want to like kind of like mind map, like write down the topic of what it is that I'm on fire about, and do the offshoots of who's connected to that or where that source is kind of leading me. I maybe one more layer up from that and find a way to say thank you for something in regard to that shit show in front of me, right? So, oh, fuck, my master's thesis has been denied yet the fuck again. Like, another fucking revision. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I pay money for this class. Are you serious? You know? And just piece it out and find some place in that mix to say thank you, right? Thank you for the opportunity to humble my ass so much or whatever. So I don't know if that's something that might work for whatever, you know, you're thinking about there, but that's definitely something that's come back into my life several times, and I need to act on it because I think it's a good idea.
That's a good one. One I do is like, let's say I don't make it to a place that I was meant to be on time, or something has delayed me. Like, yeah. I did, one year I had to go back to my tax lady like 4 times, and I actually left her office and had left my laptop there and was already 30 minutes away and had to turn back and go get it. And I remember just thinking, you know, maybe there was a reason why I had to turn back, and maybe it saved my life because I got in an accident. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with this situation. And I try to look at it from that perspective every time, that like, maybe I just wasn't meant to be there, you know? And I'm grateful that whatever, you know, delayed me or had me go a different course.
What I think is, when you were talking about the meta stuff, meditation. Angie, yeah, the meditation. So you focus on a foe. That's really interesting, right? So you're sending a foe love, right?
It's a hard one.
Yeah. So, but the question becomes, why is that person a foe? Mm-hmm. What are you doing to make that person a foe?
I think foes are meant to be in your life to challenge you and to get spiritual on you. I think there may be a soul that is in your life to teach you a lesson. Personally.
Yeah.
I don't like to think about that because there's some people I really have hated in my life. But I think if, you know, we all really are connected and we are one, maybe this person is just there to teach me, you know?
Yeah. I believe that. I think every person that comes in your life, even if it's just for a brief moment, is there for a reason. Like, they taught you something. I mean, you may not remember them all, but I think there was a reason why you connected. Even the ones that are challenging, for sure.
Yeah, I agree to that.
Well, I like the instance in that meditation where it tells you to, like,
send like thankfulness and love and kindness to the person you just passed by that you don't even know.
Yeah, for sure. That's pretty cool, actually. Because you never know that person. And that's where I think it's even more important. It just clicked. So even if you interact with somebody just for a second and that's the person you thought of in your head during that meditation, there's a reason why that happened, right? There's a reason why the universe is telling you to send them positive vibes. Because maybe they need it. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And at the very least, if you are not pushing forward positive vibes, you yourself can like give positivity. So like, don't be your shittiest self. You know, the thing about how everybody's carrying a weight we can't see and all that other business, right? I mean, there's no one person out here living their best life to the fullest. We're all struggling with something. And
on Instagram.
Besides Instagram. So, you know, I just feel like a kindness goes a really, really, really long way. And I can't, there are countless times. And, you know, I get kind of annoyed with that Midwest nice thing. It's just, it's a bit of a challenge for me.
Listen, I'm from the Midwest. We're not that nice.
Well, that's exactly my point. It's phony as fuck. Exactly. But if you can be centered in your truth and in your kindness, people pick up on that shit. Everybody, like so many people are like, and I have to like stop the inner cackle inside of me. They're like, you're so positive. I'm like, thank you. I'm so glad you put that up.
You know, we live in a world of suffering, right? Exactly. So you have to like realize that everybody you engage with is suffering something. And if you could be that wave that sparks positivity or treat them like God, because, you know, we're all God, and then they turn to the next person and treat them like God, you know, like it's, you're just spreading the love. You're just really one wave at a time, you know.
Yeah. Maybe you should be the light in the storm.
Yeah. Right.
Shut it down.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you drop the mic, Derek?
What's that?
Did you drop the mic?
Yeah.
My phone. I mean, I'm working with what I got on the road. Okay.
There you go. You got it. No, this is all good. This is great stuff, guys. I think that we've hit on a lot of great topics tonight. I know we are all still growing in gratitude, and we have a lot of work to do still. So I hope to see some things on your individual social medias and in our conversations as we continue moving forward. Is there any last thoughts that you'd like to leave our viewers and listeners with tonight?
Live the best version of yourself possible. I see the wheels turning in Dirk's head. He's like, I gotta think of something.
I don't. Not tonight. I'm sorry. I have.
He's like, I just want to go to sleep, guys.
No, you did great.
I think just being grateful is being present, you know, and finding happiness in the present situation. So,
because there's always something there. As shitty as it might look on the surface, and as deep as you want to get into that rut, there's always something that you can find gratefulness for. And even better if you can share that with someone close to you. You know, we got to let each other know that if we're struggling, if we're kind of in the thick of it, we got to speak to it. But more importantly, we got to try to push through and be positive. And that takes a lot of courage. So I just commend anyone who's out there trying to live their best life and making steps in the right direction, because it's not easy. So kudos to y'all, you know. I'm glad you're here with us. And I hope that you enjoyed our episode of Storm Champ here tonight, Growing with Gratitude. Be sure to look out for us on social media. We're back from summer vacation. We're going to be back at it and as active as ever. So until next time.
I'm grateful for pumpkin light
lattes.
There you go.
Basic.
All right, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah.